Couple things just to think about. One, I've looked at my message. I got way too much here. So we're going to probably, if it just suddenly abruptly comes to an end, that's okay. We'll pick it up another time. I'd rather that we have a chance to digest a small amount rather than get so much that we get indigestion. So we'll do that. Second is Happy Mother's Day, and I want to make a comment about it. Cheryl and I were talking about it before the service, and I resent these kind of holidays because I think they're commercialized reasons to sell greeting cards that Hallmark made these holidays. But the truth is, Mother's and Father's Day actually follow the fifth commandment, which is to honor your mother and father. And that's not always as easy for some of us as it might seem, because some of us have mothers and fathers who really have not been there for us or are less than what we would call honorable. But that doesn't mean you have to fake it on Mother's Day and think, oh, you know, I have to pretend everything was great. Pray for them. You know, you may even have a mother or father who has been like almost like an enemy to you, and I know that's happened. But God says, love our enemies and pray for them. And many of you, and like me, who haven't actually, God has brought into our life other people who've become mothers and fathers to us. And I know that even in this congregation, there are those of you who've taken many others under your wing and become mothers and fathers to them. Bless you. That's a great thing. Bless you. One of the people who's become a mother and a grandmother to so many is, the Karen name for grandma is Pee-Pee. But P. Gertrude, and she has given me permission to share this. It's been posted, and I'm just going to read what she's written. And her heart's been so tender to so many of us. I'll open your heart to Gertrude and Henry. Her sister, Pauline, and her brother-in-law, Victor, lost their son. And this is what she writes. We're heartbroken and feel devastated. Our nephew, Marco, fought the battle of drug addiction for 5 years. We were so thankful when he entered into rehab in April 2018 and lived drug-free for 13 months. He built up his brokenness and started planning a new life. Our hearts were filled with much hope and promises for him. On May 7th, we received the shocking news that that previous night he'd overdosed and died of an accidental overdose. He was found in his van the next morning. Fentanyl's a terrible thing. A celebration of the family's love for Marco has been planned for May 16th at our sister church Ebenezer in Abbotsford, BC. There's a viewing from 9 to 9:30 for the family, 9:30 to 10 for friends, and followed by going to the cemetery. So at 11:30, the funeral and the celebration of Marco's life will be happening. So let's pray for it's Victor, his dad, Pauline, his mom, who's Gertrude's sister, and Tony, his brother. Gertrude writes from Psalm 147:3, he heals the wounds of every shattered heart. All we can say, Father, is to you be the glory. You have given and you've taken away. And Marco knew you and struggled with you. And you know addiction is just lousy. Would you comfort his family? And when they fall down broken, unable to get up, just comfort them. Thank you for Gertrude and Henry, and thank you for the love that Gertrude has so freely shared with us. Would you pour into us comfort for our sister and her family? In Jesus' name, amen. Remind me not to leave that there. The Lord's Prayer. How many of you actually, when you say the Lord's Prayer, are thinking your way through it? Or does it just roll off your mouth like the combination to your locker or something? It's just words that go by. You've memorized them so often. I want us to think about it a little today. Now, we're the better part of almost two-thirds of the way through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're into the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to do something dangerous today, is we're going to stop and pray various bits of this prayer. And I say dangerous because praying is not just throwing words up into the air. Prayer is having communication and commitment and comfort and actually connection with the God who lives. And it means something. And I say dangerous because don't casually utter words that you're not willing to enter into. So I don't want to turn this prayer into just something we say and it's like the hi, how are you to God. I want it to be meaningful. So actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off in a few moments reading the Lord's Prayer, but I'm not going to ask you to join in. We'll do that later. So at Alpha 2 weeks ago, the question came up, how do you know you're a Christian? And without hesitation, my friend Yoshu Thane, who's given me permission to share this, said, oh, because I love God. It just burst out of his mouth. And I think that sums up the nature of our faith, because you can't love a force or a theory or some sort of cosmic genie. You can love only a person. And when we pray, we're praying to a person. John Stott says this: we pray to a God who is personal and loving and powerful. And the amazing truth is that we can come close to God in spite of his power. You know, remember when Moses went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, God was revealing the tiniest part of his power and being, and the whole mountain was shaking. Imagine he's on top of the lions, and you see the fire there, and the ground shakes beneath you, and the people were so terrified, they said, ask God not to speak anymore, because it scares us to death. And yet, we have the honor, in the name of Jesus, what he's done, coming to the presence of Abba, Father, the one who loves us. He's powerful, he's personal, and he's loving. So I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer, and I don't want you to feel compelled by public pressure to do this at this time, to say these words without thought. So we're going to think about these words later, and we might say them at the end. But I want to separate us from the idea that we just say these words and somehow it's a good thing to say the words. Then we become like the pagans who just babble. We want to pray and talk to our Father intentionally. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the part that we often miss, it's just the next two verses that Jesus used to explain the prayer. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So today what I want to do is we'll go through various petitions in this prayer, and then a couple times I'll stop. And if it's a public petition, I'll leave some space, and those brave extroverts, you can pray into this. And then a couple times I'll stop with stuff that's a little more personal and just give space for you to deal with it yourself internally. And I will probably focus on two particular petitions: your will be done, and give us this day our daily bread. And to be honest, I might not make it to our daily bread. We'll have to pick that up in 2 weeks' time. So as mentioned before, the first three petitions in the Lord's Prayer are focused on God himself. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first three, the prayer starts off looking up. The second three are about us. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us not just from evil, but from the evil one. That's actually probably more accurate. So when we come to the Lord's Prayer, it's interesting. First we look up, like open our eyes, we get long distance view. It takes us away from the little screens of our lives. We look up and see His beauty and His glory of the one who made the North Shore Mountains and the rivers and us. And then we look out to the people He's made. And then we come to our own needs. And that actually transforms humans into what they're meant to be. We are meant to be connectors with our holy God and connectors with each other. Our world doesn't start small. It grows great as it grows big in relationship with God and with others. And this actually is the order of prayers, as I mentioned before, in the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. The first four are up to God. No other gods. We won't make any idols. We'll worship only You, God, and we will keep Your name holy, and we'll honor the day You've set aside for us to recognize who You are. As we mentioned last week, the first item of prayer is to honor our Father in heaven. Hallowed be Your name is the NIV, and we seldom use that word, so other translations might catch it. May Your name be kept holy. And name is a way of saying everything who the person is. May You and our understanding of You be kept in proper perspective. May we understand the full majesty of who You are. May Your name be kept holy. Help us to honor Your name. That's a contemporary English version. The message kind of captures a little bit of it too. All these put together, reveal who You are. So that first thing we do, it's actually mind expanding. Instead of thinking about the broken down car I have and the things I want and my worries, the first thing I do is I think big. God's Spirit draws me into the enormous world He's created and who He is and puts me in it. This God who made everything, who's holy beyond belief, who's beautiful, is the one who made me. And that's where we start. May we recognize who You really are, personal, loving, and powerful. And this will affect how we come to Him. Because then we don't think prayer is like a cosmic slot machine and we're not talking to a cosmic genie and it's not an impersonal force. It's the Creator of the universe who's our Father. So, let's stop for a moment. And one of the ways we do this is we call out praise to our Father. So, if you want, and it makes it easier for you, you can close your eyes. But I want to give you an opportunity to pray publicly this back to Him. Praise God for who He is, maybe what He's done, for your love for Him. It's your opportunity to give voice to that as we start. Amen. Thank you, Steve. Yes, amen. And if you want to call out praises or thanksgiving in Karen, please do so as well.
in the ways of you.
Amen. Amen. Tablu. I'm letting this particular one be drawn out a little bit because it's in some ways the purpose for what we've been made to be the objects of affection of our God and to thank Him for it because we enjoy things better and we appreciate them more deeply as we give thanks for them. Yes. Thank you, God. Yes. Thank you, gang. God inhabits, He lives in, He dwells in, He's revealed also in the praises of His people. Amen. Here's the tough one. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These two go together. Where His kingdom is, there His will be done. Where His will is done in our life, His kingdom is growing. The NIV says it this way, your kingdom come. And the NLT catches it this way, may your kingdom come soon. And actually, it's probably gets both ideas. To pray your kingdom come is to pray that it may grow as we act like Jesus' brothers and sisters and tell other people. So it's to pray it's grow. Your kingdom come means will it happen in the lives of our children, our neighbors, our friends around the world? May your kingdom come. May it expand. And it also means, Lord Jesus, come soon. Really? Yeah, we can recognize that we've made a mess of it, and since He ascended back to heaven, the prayer has been, Maranatha, Lord come, and Lord come soon. Okay, I'm gonna toss this out to you. We spent some time there, but I'm going to ask. So I want you to pray again. For your kingdom to come. And this means you can put out the names of the people you love and want to come see faith. You might want to put out the names of countries where you know things are happening. I want you to have this opportunity again to pray that His kingdom would come. Pray that it would come in this area, in Prince Charles. Pray that it come in the schools. Pray that it come where you work. You can lift names or workplaces or countries. Right now, those of you who are brave, you can say it out loud. Pray that His kingdom would come, that His peace would reign. Well, I'll start off. Father, I thank you that you have placed me in a family, and you know how much I love my brothers. I pray that you would allow them to see you for who you are, and not as a character or a cartoon or something that someone said that was had to do with politics. But I pray that you would reveal yourself to my brothers as you have to me, as you did to the Apostle Paul. Please have mercy on my family.
Holy Father God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Holy Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to my brother Charlie. I pray that through this reading of your word and this reading of our daily bread, that he will have developed love and an interest to know you better. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Yes, amen. Yes. Yes. Amen.
Holy Father, please give us all that peace that surpasses all understanding and the inexpressible joys and happinesses that come from it. May all the world leaders and people of the world experience this also, Father.
Amen. Yes.
May your kingdom come to the Muslim. May your kingdom come to the Buddhist.
Yes.
May your kingdom come to all the pagans.
Yes.
Every people of the world who are still worshiping idols, fake gods, and they come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, that is the only way, the only truth, the only life.
Yes. Thank you, God. Even if you're just praying in your heart for someone you know or a circumstance in a workplace, this is good. Thank you, God. Yes. Thank you. Amen. You know, it's a little different, isn't it? Because this is probably a little more like how church happened originally. They spent time talking to God, and it wasn't just me lecturing. But And I kind of think that's what the Lord's Prayer is meant to draw us into, is a time to come before Him to think about what we're doing. You know, I think what we'll have time to do is simply go through Your Will Be Done, and we'll pick up the other stuff, daily bread, at another time. So we're going to start to what I think is the truly dangerous part for us. It's Your Kingdom Come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The words for this are thelo, that's the Greek word for to will or to desire something to happen, and the noun is thelema. And this is almost used all the way through the New Testament as what God wants. And pretty much what God wants is the expansion of His kingdom through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And His will is for us to live like citizens for that. And the word is used in the New Testament that way. But what is funny is that, or funny or ironic, and it shows how the fallen world is, the word thelema has come to be a New Age word made particularly popular by some philosophers and a guy out of England who would have been born over 100 years ago named Aleister Crowley. The guy whose mansion Jimmy Page bought, I don't know if that names mean anything to you, he was the founder of the group Led Zeppelin. But he took it to will, and he said, it's essentially the New Age gospel is, do what thou wilt, do what you will. And his idea was the fulfillment of human existence is that your will would be fulfilled, you individually. And it's seeped over. It's become sort of into the modern Wiccan movement. That the object is that you would be fulfilled by doing your own will, and it's sort of got a view of humans as good enough that we don't have to worry about our will being evil, but just do your will, do what you want. The Satanists have kind of taken over, humanists, New Age movement. It's kind of the foundation of some of that is that your will takes the place of God. And that's 100% opposed to the gospel. That is viewed as freedom when your will happens, and yet you see what happens. When our will happens, we put prisons around each other because my will conflicts with yours and nasty things happen. But God says freedom comes in saying, your will be done. It's the antidote to a self-centered society. Before I became a Christian, I wondered what my purpose was and what my rationale was for living. I remember being terrified by Adolf Hitler because I realized he wasn't just a madman. He had a reason for doing what he did. He had a rationale and a purpose. He was going to make Germany great and the limited numbers of German people that he spoke to great by eliminating undesirables. Primarily Jews, but also homosexuals and gypsies and people who had mental challenges. He was going to make, and so he had a rationale. He had a purpose in life. And that terrified me because I thought, oh, so I have to make up my own purpose? And I kind of thought, well, my purpose is to get an engineering degree and make money. But to be honest, that's a pretty dull purpose. It doesn't go very far. And after I came to see Jesus Christ, I realized my purpose every day, all the time, is to submit and be caught up in the stream of His living will. The one who made everything actually planned for me to come along at this time in history and has fit me into the world with skills and gifts to meet it. And it doesn't mean I'm a mindless robot, but it means as I do His will, I become who He made me to be. I become truly Frank Berto. I have a purpose for every day and a rationale. It's to spread the love of God and to enjoy His love. And that's so freeing. That means at the end of every day, rather than going, well, that was another useless day, I can go, oh, I lived into the purpose of God today. I lived into His will and His love moved through me. But it's a dangerous prayer because it means, and that's why I wanted us to slow down when we read the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For most of us, you know what that means? I will obey you. Now, when I do premarital counseling, I really want people to grasp, and few of us ever do, what it means when you stand on stage and you look at another person And then you say, until death do us part, you know, I will serve you, I will love you, I'll give my life for you in sickness and in health, in mortgages, in broken down cars, in crabby kids, in diapers, in failing health, in crabbiness, I commit myself to you. And I want to spend time with people knowing what that means, because it's a huge, huge, huge commitment. And when we say your will be done in our life, I want to slow it down. I don't want it just to be words that fly by you in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. Think about that. When you pray that prayer, you're saying, Jesus, where you go, I will go. I will follow, I will do, I will live, I will speak as you speak. And he invites us into that. And of course, we never know all that it means, but as you give yourself in marriage to a person and this new family unit is born that's a gift of God, so when you give your will to God, this new thing is born. This life of him flows through you, and it's delicious, and it's wonderful, and it's powerful. But it's dangerous. You're saying you're making a vow to God, and he takes it seriously. By praying this prayer, you and I are offering ourselves to God. So let's look a little bit about God's will in the New Testament, what it says when that word actually shows up. Well, the first thing is, God willed everything to exist. And we get this picture from Revelation chapter 4, when these fantastic creatures are bowing down before God and worshiping him. And then it says this, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, worthy, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. By God's will, Alyssa Hordyke lives today and sits there. It's by God's will that each and every one of you are here. None of you is without purpose. None of you is greater than the other. We were all deliberately and intentionally made by the will of God. He said, I'm going to make Mutuwame. And so he did. That's his will. God willed everything to exist. His will is our life, that we would have life, and life abundantly, and at great cost. John chapter 6, verses 38 to 40 say this, and this is Jesus praying and talking about the will of his Father. For I've come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. When Jesus calls you into his family, it's God's will that he hang on to you and you hang on to him. But he's hanging on to you. It's God's will that you would have life. For this is my Father's will, that all who see the Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. It's God's will that you would live forever in paradise, heaven and earth come together. That's God's will for you. It's God's will is that we would have life. Jesus obeyed his will even though it was costly. Reading from Matthew 26, verses 38 to 42, you know the story. It's just before his execution, and Jesus says this, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further, bowed down with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus obeyed his will. His will is love. When Jesus was queried about what God wanted for human beings, he replied this, you must love the Lord your God with all your whole heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. it gets more personal in terms of our action. His will is obedience. And we think often of as obedience as something you do to a dog. You try to do it to a cat, but I remember we put collars on our cats and tried to take them for a walk. It was more like taking them for a scrape. And sometimes we view obedience as that. But actually, obedience, oddly and truthfully to God, is freedom. It's freedom. It allows us to shed the things that hold us down and crush us. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Jesus says this, and it's worth pondering because it's hard. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. You know, you can be religious, you can do the church thing, and not know God in a life-giving way and not be connected to Him by submitting to His will. 1 Thessalonians, you can turn there from verses 4, chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. And God has a way of poking at the things that keep us bound up. In other words, He often talks about sex and money, sex and things. And in this particular way, He talks about the fact that God created us as sexual beings. And this is a great gift. It's a delight. It's a present of God for a way for people to express and enjoy the fantastic intimacy. And I'm going to read a little bit and put one little verse up there. Paul says this, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do it even more. For remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will is for you to be holy, and so stay away from all sexual sin." And then he goes on to say this, "Then each of you will control your own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and His ways, and Tinder and Grindr and..." Honestly, those are straight from the mind and will of Satan for the destruction of human beings. Sad to say. "Not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and His ways. Never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife or her husband. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gives His Holy Spirit to you." Actually, we belong to God. And when we prostitute our bodies in sexual impurity, we're violating the design of the one who made us. I sound like a fuddy-duddy because Satan has so twisted our culture. God gave sex as a great gift. But He says, don't use it to set houses on fire. Use it to set your hearts on fire with the one whom God has called you into a lifelong covenant with. From 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, Peter talks about how God wants you to live in the face of persecution, of those who mock you for your faith. "It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you." Okay. In the face of persecution, it's okay to be mocked for being a follower of Jesus. It's not a good thing to be mocked for being a jerk. Amen? Don't be a jerk, but be a witness for Jesus. And if people make fun of you for your faith in God, that's okay. He enables us to know and do His will, and we're coming near our summary, and we'll be done shortly. God enables us, because He doesn't just say, obey me without helping hand. He says this, Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. His Holy Spirit will transform the way you think. It'll turn it upside down. You'll realize, giving away to others is getting. Submitting to God is freedom. God will transform the way you think. He'll transform the way you think about those people in front of you who are driving. Amen, Bernie? He and I laugh about that. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 19 says this. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. And he goes on to say, this happens through the Holy Spirit. So God will give you his Holy Spirit to strengthen you to do his will. Romans 8, 26 to 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. There's a way in which God asks you to do his will and then helps and comes alongside. Jesus is praying and making intercession for you. God will help you do what he asks you to do. I'm going to summarize this and then pose a question, and we will conclude at that point. God's will, to sum up, he willed everything to exist. His will is life. To follow his will is life. Jesus set the model for us by obeying his will. His will is love for God and for each other. His will is obedience, which gives freedom. And he makes his will known and then gives us the power to do what he's asked us to do. So can I ask you a question? Do you really want his will to be done in your life? Don't say yes or amen, because I want you to answer that question not to me, but to him, silently. No pressure here, other than he. Do you want his will done in your life? Because his will happen in the universe, but create human beings, the highest of all creation, he gives us this choice. Will you do my will? Will you do my will? Are you willing for that? I'm usually not. It takes some persuading, especially when his will comes up and it conflicts with something I really want to do. Are you willing to let his will be done in your life? As I'm going to ask Cheryl and the team to come up, but I'm going to, as they come up, close your eyes. And this is just between you and God. Father, help me consider what this prayer means. I would like to do your will and experience that freedom, but I'm not sure I want to. Oh Lord, consider my life and the things and the choices before me. Help me to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.